Last night, we talked a little bit about two things. Do you remember what they were? The first was to have a zeal for God and God's house, right? The second part of last night was to move from religion to relationship. And then this morning, I talked about sticking a stake in it. And the whole idea is I shared that little goofy, funny, silly, dumb story, was that at some point, we have to make a decision. What are we going to do? Who are we going to live for? And I kind of share that little saying with you guys that my family and my friends will determine the direction and the quality of my life, and it's true. And this morning, as I was talking about that, and as we were riding today, and did any of you hit any rocks today? Yeah, there was a lot of rocks around, weren't there? Yeah, did you guys find some rocks? Yeah, there was like rocks galore. Reminded, there was a time when we were in Mexico, down in Baja, and we were running from our home, which was down in the Portocitos area, up to San Felipe. And this was part of the road that they would race the Baja 1000 on. And I had a Baja Bug. It was a 1968 Volkswagen. It was in great shape, and I tore the fenders off and cut the back off and turned it into really kind of a fun car for a kid. And we were cruising, boogieing back up to San Felipe to meet some friends up there. It was about a two-hour trip. And we got behind this truck that was going really, really slow on this really, really rocky part of the road. And all of a sudden, the road starts to straighten out a little bit. And we're like eating all of his dust. You know what that's like when you're out on the trail, especially if you're like right behind somebody and all that dust is coming right in your eyes. And we didn't have air conditioning, so we would simply roll the windows down to our Baja Bug. And all of this dust was coming right inside of our car. And it was hard to see, and we're kind of cruising along, and finally this straight part of the road opened up, and I was like, we got to get past this guy. And we started just flooring it. We were boogieing, and we were on the left-hand side, and all of a sudden, the guy that was driving this big old slow truck kind of did one of these, like, woo-woo. And we were on the left side of this guy, and all of a sudden, there was no room. There was a berm on the left. There was dirt road in front of us. There was a truck on the right that went, woo-woo. And guess which showed up on the left side of the road, right in front of our, no, it wasn't a cow this time. It was a rock. And there was no place to go. And all of a sudden, we hit this rock, and I have never flown my Baja Bug before, but it was flying through the air. Wheel cranks to the left. We hit this berm. We go flying through the air. We go through a bunch of bushes, a little tree, and we end up in this wash. And we're okay again. And we get out of my Baja Bug, my 1968 Volkswagen that was really, really nice until I turned it into a Baja Bug. And the pan on the bottom of it had snapped in half. The two tires on the left side, one was shredded and the other rim was bent, two flats. In the middle of nowhere. Is that a theme in my life or what? So here we are, broken down in the middle of nowhere, and I'm thinking, Mom and Dad are going to be really bummed. So we finally limp all the way up into San Felipe, and the car just like, the horn's going off. I mean, it was crazy. And we caught a ride back with some tourists who were from Germany in this little rented, do you remember the Pintos? Yeah, this is how long ago this story was. In the back of their little Pinto, and they said, hey, we're looking to get to Portocitos. Do you know how to take us there? And we were like, we got you covered. Now, we didn't have the heart to tell them there was only one road and they were on it. All we knew is they were going to get us back to where we needed to go. And we got back to camp, and I remember looking at Mom and Dad again and just saying, I'm sorry, but we broke the car in half. And they're like, okay. And we had to pack up, and the trip was over. And I never forget that feeling of, man, dumb rocks, right? Why did that have to happen? Why did that guy have to go, right? And so all we had, the only choice we had was to hit those rocks and go flying off the road. Not happy. And it dawned on me in that moment as I was kind of stewing over how am I going to get a car all the way back to San Diego and all of this stuff. I thought, that was a lot like life. Life is just that way. It's just filled with rocks. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Right now, our life is filled with a bunch of rocks right now. We don't have time to talk about it, but there are so many things going on that we have never, ever, ever signed up for. And it's all happening. And here's what I found. When life is full of rocks, I run out of me really quick. And all of a sudden I go, I don't know if I have the capacity to handle all this. I don't know if I have the capacity to handle a brother-in-law who's living with us right now because of the cancer treatment he's gone through all summer long that left him on the brink of death, decimated. And it's like having a newborn in our house again. We have a baby monitor that we keep with us at night in case he needs us. Not able to walk, not able to feed himself. He has a feeding tube. Didn't sign up for that. Gary didn't sign up for that. Refrigerator dies. Computer dies. We have a hole in our kitchen right now because of the upstairs plumbing, because it decided to go south. And there was this moment, Annette and I, my wife, we looked at each other and we gave each other a big hug and we said, please tell me that we're going to get through this. Because life is just full of rocks right now for us. Coming out here and being with you guys has been absolutely amazing to get away. I was talking to Annette earlier today and I said, honey, how's your day? She goes, I hope you're having a great time. I said, I am, but how are you doing? She goes, we'll get through it. Because life is full of rocks. When that happens for all of us, my students in my class, friends of mine, folks that are in my church, it gets tricky. And we just try to navigate through all of that. And I want to share tonight something I hope that is super, super encouraging to you. It's found in probably one of my favorite Psalms, God's songbook in the Old Testament. And it's Psalm 23, and I just want to read the very, very beginning of this psalm to you. David, the psalm writer, says this, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. That is so awesome. Here's my question. Who's your shepherd? Everybody has a shepherd. There's something that's driving. There's something that's guiding. There's something that's kind of dictating your life. What is it? Who is it? Is it the Lord? Or is it something else? And I love what he says because he says, the Lord is my shepherd, and because of him, I lack nothing. He, my shepherd, makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters, and he refreshes my soul. He says, my shepherd takes me to good places, even when times are hard, even when times are rocky. He takes me to places I could have never, ever, ever imagined. Where does your shepherd take you? To good places or someplace else? And then he goes on to say this, he guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. All those rocks in life, nah. For you are with me, God. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Our shepherd, my shepherd, is a shepherd who cares so deeply for each one of us and wants to take us to good places. Who is your shepherd, and where does your shepherd take you? And then he says this, and I love this, and I wish we had more time to spend on this one little verse. He says, God, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And I shared this message, the whole version of this message, not the voice version of this message. And I had a little banquet table set up, and I had all this food, and I invited some of my students to come up and to participate in this banquet. And then I asked this question. I said, but who do we invite to our banquet table, this table that God has set before our enemies? Who is it that we invite to that table? And I believe that typically there are three different entities that we invite. The first is simply this. The first person we invite to the table tells us, you're not good enough. And you know what that feels like? You know what it feels like when you can't get anything right and everything you seem to put your hand to somehow goes wrong. And you start to live with that doubt, and you start to live maybe with that sense of, oh, I don't want to try anything anymore. I don't want to take any more risks. Because everything I do seems to go south. And there's a second voice that we tend to invite to the table. And it's simply this: nobody likes you. And it's a voice that we try to stuff down. It's a voice that is more prevalent than ever. It's a voice that whispers into our ear. You know that person over there? You think they like you, but they really don't. And the voice that is whispering in our ear is not a voice that is for us. It is the enemy's voice. It is a voice of one that wants to ruin us, that to bring us down. And there's a third voice, and the enemy whispers into our ear again. And he simply says this. He says, your worst lived moments, they'll never heal. They'll never be forgiven. They'll never be made right. And in my church, it seems like every single week, somebody comes up and they say, Pastor D, look, this thing happened and I can't get it out of my head. I can't let go of it. I know God forgives me, but it's like this voice keeps reminding me over and over and over again of what took place in that worst lived moment, and I don't know how to shake it. And tonight I simply want to say this. That's not the voice of my shepherd. That's the voice of the enemy. And as you and I are trying to navigate family, and as you and I are trying to navigate what it means to be a parent or a child, a young person, a teenager, and we've got these voices that keep nagging us. They keep at us. They keep trying to get our attention. And I'm reminded of the words in John. In John 10:10. And Jesus is speaking, and Jesus says, look, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his agenda. That's what he wants to do. He wants to come into your life and mess everything up. He wants to whisper into your ear things that you should never, ever, ever listen to. You're not good enough. Nobody likes you. Your worst lived moments will never be forgiven. Jesus says, but I've got a different agenda for you. You see, I've come to give you life, and not just life, big life, abundant life. And I wonder sometimes, as we're trying to navigate life and we're trying to navigate family and do family, we're trying to drive that stake in the ground, whose voice do we listen to? Who do we follow after? The one whose agenda is to steal, kill, and destroy? The one who wants to take us down dark paths and bad paths and dangerous paths and paths that will hurt us and hurt others? Or do we listen to the voice of the good shepherd who says, I have come to give you life, and not just little life, but big life, abundant life. My agenda is an agenda that is for you. And then he goes on to say this. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Does your shepherd do that? Is your shepherd willing to lay down its life for you and for your family like Jesus is? Who wants to give you big life, not little life, who comes not to steal, kill, and destroy, but to say, look, I love you so much, I would rather die for you than live without you. I will gladly, willingly submit my will and die a criminal's death on a cross so that you can have life. So Jesus, what's the catch? There's no catch. It's a gift. And that's the part of God that I don't think I understand fully. The part of God whose heart is so large and so in love with you and I that he says, I am willing to do the unthinkable on your behalf so that I could be your good shepherd and I could give you life both now and next, eternal life. And all I know is this. When I start to hit those rocks in my life, that remind me that we live in a very broken world. I can either pretend the rocks aren't there. I can do my best to navigate them, but they're still going to show up. Or I can call upon the one who says, I am the good shepherd. And all those rocks in life, oh yeah, they're real. But I'll be the one that helps you get through those. I will lead you to good places. I will lay you down in green pastures. I will, at the end of the day, when Uncle Gary is trying to recover from cancer surgery, be there to give you strength and hope and guidance and peace. Guys, the only thing I have to offer you tonight is Jesus. The only thing I have to offer your family tonight is Jesus. It's it. No matter what is happening in your family, what is happening in your life, whatever you're going through, whatever those rocks are right now, the only thing I have to offer you tonight is Jesus. And Jesus extends tonight an invitation. And I love it that he just invites us. He says, look, whoever will may come freely. Come to me. And I will give you not only life now, but life next, eternal life. And I will also lead you to good places. And your family, the family that we worry about, and the family that sometimes things get squishy and go sideways. Yeah, watch me work in their lives too. So tonight, I just want to ask a super simple question. And it's just this. How many tonight would say, you know what? Yeah, I need Jesus. I maybe have gotten off trail a little bit. Some of those rocks have kind of bumped me over to some places that I just have gotten lost. And Jesus is going, I've got you. And maybe you're here tonight and you were invited with some friends who said, hey, we got this crazy thing out in the desert called dirt, and it's really fun. We do all this riding, and oh, yeah, there's going to be this speaker dude, and yeah, he's going to talk a little bit. And that friend that invited you has been praying for you. That maybe tonight, of all nights, in the middle of this desert, with this breeze blowing and this chilly temperature, that tonight you would say yes to Jesus. That you would allow him to be your good shepherd. And thirdly, maybe there are some tonight that are simply going, Darren, I am just overwhelmed. The rocks are everywhere right now. And I can't navigate anything. And I just need God to speak, and I need God to show up, and I need him to shepherd me right now. I need him to guide me along to those good places. Because the place I'm in right now is not good. And I just need prayer. I need some encouragement because I am so discouraged right now. And this is what I know about God. When life is at its worst, he is at his best. And it's in moments like this right now where he is literally leaning over the railing of heaven, looking down at this group, this audience, at this moment, waiting, anticipating, even one who would just simply tonight just raise a hand and say, that's me. I need Jesus to be my good shepherd. Now here's what happens. So I want to reveal the whole thing. When you and I know many in this audience have, when you and I say yes to Jesus, a couple things happen instantaneously. The first is, by confessing, by just telling God, God, there's some stuff in my life. He just simply calls it sin. He says, that sin, gone, erased. Number two, we're adopted into his family, his forever, ever family. It's not just about now, it's about next. And he says, you have eternal life in me, the good shepherd. And the third thing, now that we have been adopted into his family, He will guide us and lead us and bring purpose and meaning and direction to our lives. He doesn't just go, okay, that's good. And so what I'm going to ask us to do in just this closing moment right now is I'm going to ask you, just out of respect for those sitting next to you, just to simply close your eyes and just have a simple conversation with God. And I want it to go something like this. Father God, tonight it seems like the rocks are everywhere. And I need help. I don't know how else to say it except I need help. And for some, the prayer might go like this. God, and tonight I just want to simply say, I want to just place my trust in you. I want to ask you to come in to be a real part of my life. I want to say yes to Jesus. God, please forgive me of my sins, those worst-lived moments of my life. Father, I want to start over. I want to start fresh. I want to start with you as my good shepherd. And for others, it's simply to say, God, tonight, I just need help. I've gotten off track. I've gotten off path, off trail. And God, tonight, I'm putting a stake in the ground for me to say, I want to get back on trail with you, Father. And finally, there's some that just simply pray this prayer. God, it just hurts. It's overwhelming. And God, I need you as my good shepherd to lead me to some places that are new and fresh and good. Because the way life is right now, it's not. So here's what, with your eyes closed, this is what I'm going to ask you to do. And it's super, super dark, and my eyes are really, really old and tired and dusty. But tonight, if you were in that first group, I'm not going to ask you anything to do anything except to simply raise your hand tonight to say, Dee, I hear what you're saying about Jesus, and tonight I just want to simply, by raising my hand, just say, yeah. Tonight I'm saying yes to Jesus. Tonight is my night. Tonight is that time I've been kind of putting this thing off, and tonight I just want to say yes to Jesus. Would you just raise your hand real quick? Just put it up, and then just put it right back down. Just put it up, and just put it right back down. Awesome. And maybe tonight you're in that second group, and you go, D. Higgs, I've gotten off trail. And tonight, I just want to raise my hand to say, I have made a commitment to God to get back on trail, to get back on track, to put a stake in it. And if that's you tonight, again, with eyes closed, would you just simply raise your hand real quick and just say, yeah, that's me. Yep, 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 yep. Lots of hands. Awesome. Cool. Yeah, just slip it up, put it right back down. And then the third group. Tonight you're going, D, it's a little overwhelming right now. Life is so challenging. The rocks are everywhere. And tonight I just need the good shepherd to take me to encouraging places, to good green pastures. If that's you, I want to be able to pray for you tonight. Would you just simply raise your hand real quick and just say, yeah. D, would you pray for me? Oh, yeah. Yep. It's honest. I love it. Anybody else? Anybody else? Yep. Yep. I think I see some of the hands there in the back. Good. All right. Let me pray. Dear Jesus, you saw every one of these hands. If it was to say yes to you, if it was to get back on course, just to be encouraged. And Father, I would ask tonight, maybe they'd come up to me or somebody else and just say, hey, here's what's going on, and I just want you to know that I raised my hand tonight. And Father, I know you saw every single hand. And right now, you're just up there just going, yes. I can't wait to work in their lives and through their lives. So, Father, thank you for those promises. Thank you that you are the good shepherd. And thank you for this chilly, chilly evening in the middle of the desert here in California where we could have just this moment, this brief moment with you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And really loudly, everybody said, amen. Amen.